Appreciate that music. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 1, we've been looking at. The book of Ephesians just started, entered it last Sunday. And Ephesians gives us a wonderful truth that we are rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rich in Christ. You can have money and be poor. And you can have no money and be rich. There's more than material wealth. There's spiritual wealth. And I can also say I'm a rich man this morning. Rich because of Jesus. And we see that in this book. This book of Ephesians gives us these great truths of how we're rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to read with me starting at verse number 3. We'll read verse 3 and we'll go to verse 14. You read silently in your heart and I will read out loud. And starting at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now pray with me. Father, I ask of Thee for Your help. I know that You don't have to have me. And so many more can preach and so much the better. But Father, I've got to have Thee. And I beg of it. I pray for that promise of the endowment from on high, that Thy power would touch and help me, that You'd use me in this hour. You promised that Your kingdom in Corinthians, as You said, that Your kingdom is not in word but in power. And I pray for this. And I pray for that great treasure as an earthen vessel, that the power, the excellency would be of Thee and not of me. Help me, Lord, to say exactly what You'd want me to say. I pray that when we're done, we'll go out just like 1 Thessalonians said. Paul came not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. Would You help us, please? I need Thee. Use me. And may we leave excited to be blessed in Jesus. In Christ's precious, wonderful, glorious, heavenly name. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to preach this morning with God's help on spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. Last week we looked at the opening of this book and how verse 3 of chapter 1 is the key. It unlocks the door to the whole book. If you wanted to know what my house looked like, you cannot get a good picture by looking through the window. You have to enter the door. And once you enter the door, you can see the living room, you can see the kitchen, and you get the living room door by the key. Well, verse 3 of chapter 1 is the key door, key to the whole book. It opens the door and lets you see the mind of Christ in this book. And look what it says in verse 3. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know what? Jesus makes us rich because of Christ. And that's the only way you're rich spiritually. This is a very powerful statement, especially thinking of the Old Testament. You read in the book of Deuteronomy,
that God told the children of Israel that if they obeyed him, he would give them material blessings. You would be blessed and not cursed in the Old Testament. But now in the New Testament, it's not a material blessing, it's a spiritual blessing. And God blesses us because we are in Jesus. Amen. Who remembers that? Last week, Jesus. Jesus exactly suits us sinners. That's all I need. All I need is Jesus. In him, I'm complete. In him, I have peace. I have joy. Most people live their life based off of happenings. And they're happy as long as happenings are good. But that means when the happenings are, they're not happy. I don't live that way because I'm rich in Jesus. I don't live based upon happiness of happenings. My joy comes from Jesus. And I have Jesus all the time. Jesus promised the children, his believers, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus is always with me, and therefore I've always got joy. Yeah, amen. And there's a rich truth found in Christ. The phrase in Christ is mentioned 10 verses in this passage and through the book, in Christ, and you'll see other times where it says in him. Everything when it comes to blessing is in Jesus. You don't get it in any other prophet. That's right. You don't get it in some other teaching. You don't get it in some other religious category. I don't have a religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I am his. I am with him, in him. And I know him personally. As the song says, he walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. And oh, there's nothing like it. The joy we share as we tarry there. None other like it. Amen. Now I want you to see some spiritual blessings. Before we go that, look at these verses. These are important verses. Verse 15 of chapter 1. Paul, who is the human penman, he didn't write this book. God wrote this book. These are God's words. Inerrant, infallible, forever preserved. And we see here that Paul was praying. Notice the prayer of Paul. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith. So Paul says, once I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul says, when I heard that you were a follower of Jesus Christ, I began to pray, and I began to pray much, often. Now let's see what he prayed. Look at this. Verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. In other words, he said, I've been praying that you will know how blessed you really are. Because most Christians live in poverty spiritually. They live defeated. They live down. They live in a category where instead of placing their faith in Christ and living in joy, they're living defeated lives. They're miserable Christians. And that's not how it's supposed to be. We ought to be living in such a victorious life to where we have joy with food on the table or no food on the table. We should be joyful in Jesus. But most Christians do not know the blessing they have in Jesus. And listen, we're rich in Christ. We have been blessed. We've been greatly blessed. Let me show you some truths here. Let's look at them. We're going to back up and look at the opening part of chapter 1 to see these spiritual blessings that we may know. Number one, we are blessed in the Father. We're blessed in the Father. And God's my Father. Amen. How you doing? God is my Father. God is my heavenly Father. And even when mom and daddy, my earthly parents, have to say goodbye, my heavenly Father is forever with me.
Let's look at these spiritual blessings. Go to verse number 3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And then if you look at the next verse, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So when we talk about the blessing of being from the Father's blessing, first notice this, he chose us. God chose you. You do not go looking for God. God came looking for you. God loves, look what it says. It said, he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God chose you before the world was created. That means he chose to love you. He chose to go after you. He chose to pursue your life. He chose to give you a wonderful life. It was God who came after me. You look in the book of Luke and you see chapter 19 where Zacchaeus, a wee little man, was looking for Jesus. You know the story. He had heard about Christ. He was at that dinner with Matthew and his heart was pounding. He said, I need to know Jesus. Zacchaeus was a man that was a famous tax collector. And he said, I got to know Jesus. And one day he heard that Jesus was coming by. And Zacchaeus said, he's coming to my town? And so Zacchaeus, what'd he do? He began to go look for him. And he was small and there was all these people and Zacchaeus could not get up. And so he found a sycamore tree and he began to climb. And then when he got to the top, he went to look for Jesus. But guess what? Jesus was looking for him. Zacchaeus? Huh? It's me. I'm going to go to your house today. You might think that you were the one looking for him, but no. He came looking for you. Jesus came after you. When I was 12 years old and I heard the gospel preached, my heart began to pound in my breast, and the Holy Spirit began to bring conviction. It was not me, it was God who began to awaken my heart, show me my need for Jesus. God chose to come after me, and he chose to come after you. He pursued me. And thanks be to God, what a blessing it is that God would love me like that. I did nothing to earn his love. You've done nothing to earn his love. There's nothing good about me. There's nothing good about you. If I was to take your mind and open it up and put it on a TV screen and let everybody see what you think about, you would not want your best friend to see the imagination you have. We are sinners. Nobody taught you to be a sinner. You were born a sinner. Children are sinners by birth. Oh, such a cute little baby. That baby's a sinner. Amen. My mom never set me down and said, okay, Josh, I want you to learn to lie today. Practice lying, Josh. Tell me that your shirt is blue, even though it's yellow. Come on, Josh, lie. My mom didn't have to do that. She had to teach me to tell the truth. Boy, don't you lie. You better tell the truth. We do it natural. We're born sinners. There's nothing good about me. But God chose me. He chose to love me. For God so loved the world. It was a decision. He came for me. He has a purpose for me. It says that before the foundation, he purposed that I would be holy, without blame, in him in love. In other words, listen, God looked down in the eternal purpose of his mind and said, you, I love you, I want you, I'm going to give you a life that's worth living. I've got a purpose for you. Do you know how empty, pointless life is when you don't have a purpose? When you just exist, there's purpose. And God. I'm spiritually blessed. Number two, under God the Father has blessed us. Not only did he choose us, he chose us, but number two, he adopted us. He adopted us. Adoption. Verse number 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. according to His good pleasure of His will. Now there's a fancy word right there, predestinated. It's been twisted. It's been torn. It's not taught properly. It's mentioned just a few times, and every time predestinated is mentioned in the Bible, it only refers to God's children, never the lost. The word predestinated can simply be defined this way, pre-planned. That's what it means. God had a plan for my life. God pre-planned some things for me, and He pre-planned them for every believer. And God said it like this. God said, now look, Denver, I love you. I gave my son to die for you. And if you'll place your faith in my son, I've got a plan for your life. You know what I'm going to do? You know what my plan is? I'm going to adopt you into the family. And God predestinated every child, every believer, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. God pre-planned that He would make you His own personal child. A child. An adopted child. To be honest, more than a child. Really an adopted adult. Did you know a child, when they're adopted, they take on the last name, they become a part of the family. But did you know a child cannot take the parents' inheritance and leave home? I'm going to adopt you, son. Great. Sign the papers. All right, I'm out of here. I'm gone, man. I'm going to live on the inheritance. They can't do that. Say, well, you come on back. You're a little boy. You're going to live in my home. I'm going to raise you. There's something deeper here than the adoption of a little child. God has adopted us as adults. Did you know that because you're adopted, you can partake right now, immediately, in all the richness that is found in Christ? I am a child of a King, and I can have the spiritual blessings, the heavenly blessings that Jesus Christ has. I'm not a citizen of this world. When I got saved, I was adopted. God planned it. He said, here's my plan for all the believers. You will be my family. And when I was adopted in God's family, I became a citizen of heaven. I'm seated where Jesus is seated. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I don't feel at home in this world anymore. This is not where I live. My citizenship is in heaven. I'm an ambassador. And honestly, somebody can ask you, hey, where are you from? If you're a Christian, you can tell them, I'm from heaven. It's sounding sweeter all the time. I'm from heaven. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. How do I, listen, my name is written in heaven. My conversation is in heaven. My future home is in heaven forever and ever. In my Father's house are many mansions. God said, Jesus said, for not so I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's what God's doing. He prepares a place for me. I'm in the family. I've been adopted. This is royalty. Did you know you're looking at royalty this morning? How you doing? I'm a child of a King. Not just a King, but the King of Kings. You know, if a king or queen, if a president was going to walk in here this morning, we would all stand up, wouldn't we? We'd pay attention. We'd salute. We'd have great respect. We would do the custom that is rightfully deserving of that king. We would treat them, even if you don't like the king, the fact that they're the king, you're going to pay some great respect. Now take every king that's ever lived, every king that is living and will live, and put them all in a room together. And when Jesus walks in the room, they'll all bow to the knee because the King of Kings has entered in. And that's my Father. That's who I'm related to. In Christ, I'm adopted. God has given me the spiritual blessing of adopted. And notice what it says, according to the good pleasure of His will. God chose to
do this great plan. He said, you trust in me, I'll adopt you. Here, let me help you out. God could have just forgave you and that's it. Hey, you're forgiven. Go your way. But he didn't do that. I'll forgive you of your sins and you don't have to go to hell. And just live on earth. Leave me alone. I'm being kind. He could have done that. And I'd been happy. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But no, he did something a whole lot more than that. He not only saved me, he adopted me. I'm a child of God. What a great spiritual blessing we have. Look at what else it says. In verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He accepted us. God has given us the blessing of being accepted. I can pray to God anytime I want to pray. I don't have to go to some priest. I can pray to God. Hey, I'm talking about a spiritual blessing where I'm a child of God. He's chosen this. He's got a life for me. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And I'm accepted in his family, in his presence. I can pray anytime I want. I can enter into the throne room of grace because I've been accepted. Look what else we see. These spiritual blessings. Number one, from the Father. But number two, spiritual blessings from the Son. From the Lord Jesus Christ we have some. Verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption. Redemption. Through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You know what the Lord Jesus has done? He has redeemed us. I've been redeemed. This is a blessing. The word redeem means to buy back. It means to free. If you were a slave and I would redeem you, I would get you out of bondage. I say, come on, I'm setting you free today. That's what Christ did for you. Every one of us, we're a slave to sin. When you were born a sinner. You were born a slave to sin. You can do nothing about that. That's why Alcohol Anonymous without Christ cannot be possible. That's why drug rehabilitation without Christ can never be done. That's why wife abusers will never stop hitting their wife unless they meet Jesus Christ. My granddaddy, for many years, would beat on my grandmother. He was a member of a church. He was a deacon at a Baptist church. But he still was a wife beater and a gambler and an alcoholic. And for many years, my grandmother lived through it. And she let him do that to keep the marriage and to honor God. But then when they were way up in life, 60s plus, my grandmother said, boys, I can't take it anymore. You beat me the last time. And boys, Lowry said, I don't understand, Rufus. I don't know why I do this. And she said, honey, do you think it's because you've never been saved? Never been saved? And he said, that's it. I've been living a lie. I've never given my heart to Jesus. And Boyce Lowry asked Jesus Christ to come into his life and save him. And that day forward, guess how many times he laid a hand in anger? Zero. Never again did he drink? Zero. Never again did he gamble? Zero. Never again did he have that vile attitude. He became a fervent witness for the Lord. He sang in the choir. People would say, I come to church just to see that old man up there with so much joy in the choir. And that's what God can do. He redeems us out of this. Jesus Christ sets the captives free. He set me free from my sin. I'm forever saved. I can have victory over addictions. Listen, if you're in addiction, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. Jesus has enough power to set every addict free. Jesus can give you victory over pornography. He can give you victory over nicotine. He can give you victory over alcoholism. Jesus Christ, there's more power in Christ. There's not one sinner so vile that Jesus cannot help. And if you'll come down sincere this morning, if you'll give your life to Christ with sincerity, Jesus Christ will redeem you. And number two, look what else he does. Not only does he redeem us, but he forgives us. He forgives us. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through the blood, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I've been forgiven. Jesus Christ forgave me.
And I love that. Do you know how awful it is to allow your past to haunt you? To let your conscience say, you'll never be anything. You're a sinner. You know the dark secrets. You know what you think about. You know what your hands have touched. You know what you partook in the darkness that nobody saw. You know what you've done. People will say, I battled even after I got saved. My conscience will bring up, I battle my mind. And I do. But here's the great truth. A spiritual blessing this morning. Jesus has forgiven us. I don't have to plague my mind with guilt. The Old Testament, there was a scapegoat. The high priest would lay the sins on that scapegoat and send that goat out into the wilderness, signifying how the coming Messiah Jesus would take the sins away. And that's what Christ did. When Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, the God-man, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, perfect in all areas, came to earth, walked on water, healed the blind, raised the dead. When Jesus Christ came, he came for a big reason. To die for my sins. And on that day when Jesus Christ was raised on the cross, when they nailed his precious hands, Brother Glenn Pryor would say that elderly lady, he would watch her and help her out in her old age, and she loved God, and every now and then she'd just break in tears and say, Glenn, they nailed his precious hands, his precious hands. And that's what happened. Jesus took those precious hands and put them on the cross, and they nailed him. And at that time, Jesus gave the ultimate payment. Laid his life's blood for my sin. You know who should have been on the cross? Me. Because I'm the sinner. I'm guilty. But Jesus died for me. He died in my place. My substitute. Like a substitute teacher. You walk in one day and you say, where's our teacher? And there's a substitute teacher saying, I'm here in place of Mr. So-and-so. Jesus came in place of me. My substitute died on the cross of Calvary. Gave his life blood so I could be forgiven. Don't forget this. Listen, everybody all right this morning? You realize that in the Old Testament, every sacrifice of an animal was an atonement. The blood that animals shed in the Old Testament only atoned, which means covering. Atonement means covering. But sin was always there. And God, in his forbearance of his wrath, overlooked it while every animal shed its blood for years. Because all it did was cover. But when the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which covereth the sins of the world, make atonement for the sins of the world, no, which taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ took our sins away. And when the devil sneaks up on you and says, you good for nothing, I know the dark secrets of your heart. I know what nobody else knows. I know what you thought about and what you did. I know what your hands have touched. I know you. When the devil crawls into your mind, you tell him to go back to hell where he's going to live for all eternity, because Jesus Christ took the sins away. They're gone forevermore. And my conscience don't have to plague the guilt since Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. I think we're rich. Listen, when your guilt plagues you, there's not a dollar bill to make you feel better. When your past haunts you, there's not one piece of food in the cupboard that will make you feel better. But hallelujah for the blessing that I've been forgiven. Forgiven. Forgiven.
The Bible says the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence. And here's another thing. He shows us, not only does He forgive us, He redeems us, He shows us in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. His will. God shows us some things. You know what He shows us? Now, He doesn't get deep into this. He just gives a little, whoop. Check this out. Whoop. There's a wonderful time to come. The Bible says in verse 11, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. There's a day coming. Listen. You know what sin has done? Sin has destroyed this world. Sin has destroyed families. Sin has destroyed marriages. Sin has separated family members. Sin has made brothers kill each other. Look at Cain and Abel. Sin has destroyed moms and dads. Sin has made family members say, I'll never speak to you. Sin is cursing this world and making it get worse and worse. But there's coming a day when Christ will begin a new heaven. He'll bring all things to Him. And what sin has done to separate us will be forever together in unity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. And we'll all be together, the family of God. I know it don't matter what background you are, we're family. No matter your background, your heritage, no matter what color skin you are, you can be red, yellow, white, black. It don't matter what color you are, Christmas color. Under the blood of Jesus Christ, we all come out the same child of God. And we'll forever be with Jesus. I think that feels like a pretty good spiritual blessing. And what the devil's done to destroy with sin, Jesus will conquer forever. In that fullness of time, the victory. And listen, we're living on the victory lane. Amen. Oh, thanks be to Jesus. There's coming a day. Amen. There's coming a day. There's coming a day. And we see these great principles, these great truths, according to His own will. Now, notice one other thing. One other person of the Godhead. God the Father gives us some blessings. The Son gives us blessings. And did you know the Holy Spirit has, He says, I've got some blessings too. Let me get in this. They all have a great ministry of salvation. Look what the Holy Spirit does. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. Verse 13 is a great verse. Amen. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Many times when God allows me the great privilege of leading somebody to Jesus, where they bow their heart and say, Lord Jesus, save me. Afterwards, I'll say, can I show you a verse? And I take them to verse 13. And I say, look what just happened. Let's follow it real slow. In whom you also trusted. See, in order to be saved, you have to trust. And you ask, well, what do you trust? That you heard the word of truth. The word of truth. Well, what is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom, speaking of Christ, in whom, because we're in Him, also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. The moment somebody believes in Jesus Christ, they're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have a great blessing from the Holy Spirit. You know what He does? He seals us. Not going anywhere. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The promise of the Holy Spirit. See, and by the way, nobody gets sealed until they believe. Nobody gets sealed until they believe. Let me make something real clear, an easy illustration to help anybody wonder about this. He chose me. Do I have my own will in being saved? Yes, you do. It's a whosoever will gospel. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. He died to save everyone. And here's the truth. God's Spirit convicts mankind and brings them to Him. You see in the book of Acts the gift of repentance. You see in the book of Acts the gift of faith. But it's you that has to decide if you'll believe on Him.
An easy illustration is this. My grandmother, who can cook, just to let you know, last night I had maple walnut cake. Hush your mouth. Amen. Now let's say she made that walnut cake and we're upstairs playing a game. While I'm playing the game, my mind is not on walnut cake, maple walnut cake. I'm not thinking about that. But all of a sudden, I start smelling this aroma. And for the first time during the game, I'm thinking about some kind of food that's downstairs. And then all of a sudden, Grandma peeks her head around the staircase and says, maple walnut cake, come and get it. Well, I go, it smells good. And I know Granny Brown can cook. So I'm going to go get me some cake. And that's how salvation is. I would have never thought of walnut cake until I smelled it and she said, come and get it. It would not even have entered my mind because I'm in the game. Once it entered my mind, once she beckoned for me to come, it's not in my hand. I'm not eating it yet. As a matter of fact, I could continue in the game and not have any. But I choose to receive. The day I was saved, the sweet, blessed Holy Ghost came after me. He chose to do this. He loved me and He convicted me. No man goes to the Father except he be drawn. But at that moment of conviction and awareness of my lost soul going to hell, when that preacher said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And I said, dear God, I know one thing. I don't want to go to hell. Then it was up to me to take my will and to receive the gospel of my salvation. And then the moment that I did that, the moment I believed, I was sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You know what's special about the Holy Spirit? Verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You know what the Holy Spirit given to your heart is? That seal? It's almost like a down payment. In business terms, we say if I want to buy a building, I've got to give an earnest. 10%, 15% of that cost. And when I give that 10%, 15% or whatever they're asking, and I shake hands and I give all that money for that building, the 10%, 15%, that guy says, oh, okay, you're serious about this. You're going to buy this building. All right, it's yours. And then I start getting the money together, and then I come and bring it. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit, listen, God says, look, I want you to know, I'm serious about this, about you being my child. I'm serious about loving you. I'm serious about taking all your cares. I'm serious about giving you grace in the time of need. I'm serious about giving you a home in heaven. I'm serious about radically changing your life, washing you, making you a child of God. I'm serious about this. Here is my down payment. It's me, the Holy Spirit. And He has sealed me until the day of redemption when God says, okay, it's time to make the final payment. Come on home. That's sealed. Back then in the Bible times, they would seal letters with their initial. You've seen that before where there's an envelope and they got that big seal and they put that letter and then close it and put that seal on there and it closes it to where it won't open and it's got the initial representing the family. Some families that were wealthy would have a real nice fancy seal and everyone knew it was that family. And God sealed me. He said, He's mine. He's my family. And I'm coming to get you, son. We've been blessed. What has you down? What has been bothering you? What do you focus on all week? Where's your mind? Where's your life? And I'll show you one last thing. Do you know why God even did this? Do you know why God has chosen and why He has redeemed and forgiven through Christ and sealed you by His Spirit? Do you know why? Each time in this passage, God, when He gets done with the Father, He says something.
He gets done with the Lord Jesus and he makes a statement. And when he gets done with the Holy Spirit's blessing, he makes another statement. You know what that statement is? Three times mentioned. Verse 6, 12, and 14. Look at it and we'll be done. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know why God's given you such blessings? Because he wants your life to be a trophy of the grace of God. He wants your life to be all for Jesus. He wants this whole world to know that you are his child. You don't have to live defeated. You can live rich. You can walk out these doors and say, by God's grace, I am his. I am in Christ. And I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to have victory. I'm not going to live in poverty, spiritual standing. I'm going to live victorious for Christ. And it's a wonderful thing. God didn't save you for yourself. Well, I'm saved. Hallelujah. Woo. No, no, no. He saved you for him. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I want you to hear this. There's two decisions that change your life. Number one, the decision to receive Christ. Number two, after you receive Christ, the decision to live for Christ. It'll change your life. Change your life. Let's pray. All heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We do this every service. We do this every service. Every service. All heads bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking. We do this every service. Let me ask you a question. If you, and we're going to have piano in a moment. Let me ask you a question. If you were to die right now, if you were to die right now, do you know for certain that you will go to heaven? Have you been saved? God loves you. And if you're here this morning and you don't know, God wants you to know. He wants to radically change your life. I will not embarrass you. I do this every service. We do this. I will not embarrass you. But I'm going to snap my finger. And if you'll slip your hand up and say, preacher, I don't know for certain that I'm going to heaven. I don't know. Pray for me. Is there anybody like that? I'm going to snap my finger. If you just slip it up so I can see it. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody like that? Slip it up right now. I'm looking. Preacher, I don't know for certain I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Anybody like that? Now listen, if you are saved, are you living in the spiritual blessings that God has given you? Are you accepting and living and enjoying the Christian life? Are you doing it for His glory or for yours? Are you defeated this morning? Are you miserable? We see the outside, but is your inside unhappy? Then I'm going to ask you, won't you come down to the old-fashioned altar?